Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday hump day, May 27, 2020. Right now we have our good friend Nick Lecky, former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints, and Instagram foodie. He joins us right now. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I'm getting a chance to pull in a workout blog, Instagram, by the way. I'm starting to rethink that.
I didn't understand a word you just said, Nick.
But I liked it.
That
but
cell
I agree.
Phone was not sounding good.
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. No, I just said I was maybe I regretted not starting my workout log on my Instagram stories.
Right.
Not enough.
Well, we've got to discuss something serious right now, Nick.
Okay.
I saw the clip that you retweeted where you were talking with Chiefs special teams coordinator Dave Tobe. I was not aware of this happening, so let's go ahead and dig in here. Some wild accusations lobbed at you from Dave Tobe, who claims that when he was at the University of Missouri, he recruited or attempted to recruit a very young and fresh-faced Nick Lecky out of Texas because he liked what he saw on film. But according to Dave Tobe, you did not give him the time of day. Nick Lecky, please let us know. Take us back to when you absolutely turned your nose up at Dave Tobe.
I wouldn't say it was funny. It was the first thing he said when he popped on was like, I remember you. You probably don't remember me. And when he mentioned that, I was like, I totally remembered him because I was afraid of him in high school. Like, I'm still afraid of Dave Tobe right now, but I was more afraid of him in high school. I mean, he's intense. I mean, you know, ex-O lineman, special teams coach. He's super intense. He really is. I mean, even the way he was crowding the microphone, like he's an old school manager in baseball that gets in the ump's face, right? And he totally came through Grapevine High School and wanted me to come to Missouri. And I think I had them up there. Like I was like, I'll go out to Columbia for a recruiting trip or something for a Wild West weekend, as I like to call them. And but no, it just never happened. But yeah, man, in a bizarro alternative universe, man, I'm wearing black and gold, man, and having to block Justin Smith every day in practice for a year. So get my butt whooped. What happened?
Well, I mean, what a wild world. Here you are. You're getting ready to do this podcast interviewing Dave Tobe, the special teams coordinator for the and assistant head coach of the Super Bowl champs, and he comes on there and you say, or he says, you may not remember me.
He said
you just basically just blew it off. You didn't, that's the way Dave Tobe described it. So you're saying you gave him more attention than he claims.
I did. But it's tough. I mean, it's seriously, like, when you're in high school and you're getting recruited, the only thing that I cared about, honestly, was who was winning at the time, right, and who had Nike as their sponsor. Because, like, the program, right, like, I'm not playing in, like, Reebok or Adidas or anything like that. Like, I want Nike.
You so want that Nike money, huh?
Is that right?
Yeah, buddy. Right, Nate? You know about that.
I know how it goes.
Shoe sponsorships. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
let me tell you something. Nate bathes in the Adidas money.
Oh, yeah.
He's just covered in it.
I have a treasure bath in my house. Treasure bath.
Luxurious.
Right.
Yeah.
Luxurious.
Sterilize this.
But, yeah, no, that was it, man. And, when you're an 18-year-old, you think you're just, the cat's meow. And, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I have a lot of respect for high school coaches, because they deal with a lot of BS with recruiting, and kids think they're way more valuable than what they are. And then you get that cold hard reality hits you in the face when you step onto campus, and it's like, all right, you were top of the food chain, and now you're the prey, right? Now you're just small fish. But yeah, it's kinda intense, man.
You kind of were the cat's meow, weren't you?
Yep.
Just a little bit?
I mean. Yes. Yes. At my high school, yeah. Like, I'm like, you know, big fish, small pond for sure. You know, one state in wrestling. No, but play the new one. No, the new one's more my speed. The techno version. I almost want to get a cat so I can just support them for doing the techno version of that meow mix. I thought it was the Energizer Bunny commercial at first.
I have not heard this. Where's this? Where's this at? JT, have access.
It's on television. You're on streaming, and I'm still basic cable because I'm basic.
Oh, you're anything but basic.
It's like an acid trip.
Okay, so I need. So since we're talking about your days of being the cat's meow, there's a famous picture that we've referenced many times. That hangs on Todd Lebo's wall in his office that features you at the well, you just tell us it was for the Playboy All-American team. Where was that picture taken that had so many noteworthy superstars or future superstars in it? And we'll go through those names. Take us back to the picture.
Oh, man, so that was cool. That was summer of 2003. I made the Playboy All-American team. And apparently, let's see here, Cade McNown got into an altercation with one of the bunnies. So that was it was held at the mansion. That was like, I guess that was like a couple years, like 98, 99 or something like that. But they had stopped doing it there.
So Cade McNown ended that. No more photo shoots at the mansion.
No more at the mansion. Right.
Okay.
So that was at the
different Meow Meow song.
Wow.
Right.
Definitely. And you might be like Two Live Crew or something like that. Yeah. And so they it was at this hotel in Arizona, and they put us up there, and it was just a weekend of a lot of fun and, you know, hanging out with some fellow college players, some what are we called, amateur athletes. But a lot of people were there, man, like Robert Gallery, Eli Manning, Derek Johnson, Roy Williams, wide receiver in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, that picture on the wall, at you, at DJ, you know, Eli Manning, mm-hmm. It looked like you guys mm-hmm. were in the food line or something, or getting ready, like in a barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were. Yeah. There was pool parties, so we had food. They had food for us and stuff like that, and we were playing pool and or playing volleyball in the pool and hanging out. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we talk about a unique experience. They gave us a bunch of, like, Reebok Allen Iverson gear, which they gave me, like, a 4X, so it was, like, perfect at the time.
You didn't want any of that Reebok stuff. Yeah. You've already made that clear.
I know, I didn't.
No, you said you didn't want to play in it. Yeah. He'll take it for free, right? You're all about free gear, but suiting it up.
I came back to school. I came back to K-State, and I was like just making a rain Reebok Allen Iverson to all my fellow O-linemen. I'm like, who wants this stuff? And they all were like, yeah. So, yeah, so they loved it. And I looked like a king because I came back with a bag full of shoes and gear.
Do you have any interactions with Kellen Winslow Jr. during that photo shoot?
I did not.
Well, good for you.
You know, we're the state. Yeah, we're the state of whatever that happened at Kellen Winslow Jr. in the past couple of years. Let me just say, it makes a lot of sense. You know, really does. Oh. He needs to seek some counseling and things like that for sure.
Right.
I mean, I just. Inexcusable. And I avoided him like the plague, for sure. Yeah.
But Derek Johnson, did you? You knew all about DJ because he was coming out of out of Texas. What do you remember about a young Derek Johnson back in the day?
Man, I remember Derek Johnson. I remember him getting us later on in that season. I remember he got me twice. On some linebacker sort of run blitz, sort of like where he would go backside and then come around the combo block. And dude just had so much quickness. And that's why, you know, he had such a great career, is because his instincts, man. I mean, you know, never mind the fact that he was super quick and, you know, track speed fast, is that his instincts were just awesome. Like, to be able to read a play, break it down, and attack it with all the field speed and track speed that he has was cool. And that's what made him so unblockable, was like, obviously, if you got hands on him, you know, you could get him. But if you did not, and if you were late at all, no shot in hell you were going to block that guy, I mean, especially in college. You know, him and Teddy Lehman were on that same category of guys who just instinct and just, you know, would blaze through the gap. And Teddy Lehman was also there at that party, that weekend festivity, where we weren't allowed to get Cristal or Opus One, because apparently a year before, some defensive end from Florida had a hotel party at this ramp of hot tab.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was pretty much sanitized when what's-his-face from Oklahoma said no. Bradford declined it. So, yeah. But whatever.
He took the high road, huh?
He did. You know, I think everyone knows it's all about the articles there, and
right
now that's evidently true. So people don't realize that, you know. That's where I used to get all my political views, was from Playboy magazine.
So Hef didn't stop by, right? Did he? I mean, I know you weren't in the mansion, but did Hef didn't do a walkthrough or anything out in Arizona?
No, he never made a cameo, because I would have been like, dude, I don't have to come part of your entourage, buddy. How do I, you know? I want to. Did you guys watch that show with like him and like his three wives or whatever?
Oh yeah,
or three girlfriends.
And what was it called? The Girls Next Door.
Jake
like
was
that?
A huge fan.
Oh yeah.
Jake was a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
Girls Next Door.
Show, but it really was like, I was like, oh, so this dude just has his buddies over and they drink. His brother comes over and they drink, like, you know, Crown and Coke and hang out and play. I was like, this is kind of boring. Like, this is not the Hef I expected. Like, we should have done that show in the 80s or the 70s with Hef.
Yeah, it was
that would have been a much better show.
It was Holly, Bridget, and Kendra.
That's right. And then
who's the NFL player that Kendra married?
The wide receiver, Basket. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Hank Basket.
He also was the guy who muffed the onside kick in our Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
See how it all comes full circle. See?
Isn't that funny? It really does, man. I think the older you get, the smaller your world becomes. But it does. It really does, man. It's a bizarre thing. But you think it'd be like, okay, kick it to the wide receiver, but no go. No go at all. It's been...
So, after you were reminded of snubbing Dave Tobe as a youngster, how did the rest of the conversation go? I mean, I had one of my favorite conversations that I had down at the Super Bowl was media night, when we were able to walk around and talk to any of the assistant coaches, and I had about a 9 or 10 minute interview with him that was on Facebook Live, and he's so much fun to talk to, just about football and his enthusiasm, and he is, I could totally see how, you know, the intimidation factor, but I think he had that toned down from media night down in Miami. But I thoroughly enjoy talking to him and listening to him talk about football and special teams. How was the conversation that you had on the In the Trenches podcast with BJ Kissel and Dave Tobe?
Well, I mean, after we got past the initial checkmate that Coach Tobe put me in, we got along really good. And usually, I mean, it's an interesting position in the NFL, because usually, like, special teams coach are like, that's all they know. Right. So honestly, like, some guys don't take the special teams coaches seriously, because, you know, you go with your offensive position coach and then, you know, your O coordinator or D coordinator and then your head coach. Right. It's like, you know, your chain of command, or your corporate bureaucracy as it goes. And so your special teams guy kind of gets, you're like, whatever, I'm not going to do. But a lot of people forget, and this is something that Coach Tobin and I talked about, and especially he's a strength coach, is that you feel like the special teams part of practice sometimes, or the weight room, is like an extension of the locker room, and it's where you're not on the clock. So some people take it like that. So it's a really good judge of character is how people perform on special teams and then how people perform in the weight room. Because you guys would be surprised at how many people come into an NFL weight room, and this is, you know, fellow teammates, and don't work out. Like, they'll come in there and just, like hide. And it's you'd be amazed about, you know, who are the workout warriors and who are not workout warriors. And so, you know, you get an interesting perspective on your team when you're the special teams coach or you're the strength coach. Because you feel, some players feel like they can kind of let their guard down, let their hair down. And that's what we discussed. And if you're a good scout, NFL scout, scouting colleges, you always go to the strength coach. Always, 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 always. And ask the strength coach, hey, who are the, who are the workout warriors and who are the people who are lazy? And that's usually a good indicator of true talent. It's a fascinating thing.
Or you could be like KU under the Turner Gill era and hire a guy that had no certification for strength and conditioning and who would sit in his office and eat McDonald's while the guys did their workouts.
No,
you're lying.
What's the problem with that? Where's that? Why is that a criticism?
No.
Well, because.
Yeah. Why would that be, Nate?
No.
Well, because right? I remember when Mark Mangino was the head coach at KU. Some of the guys on his, he hired Chris Dawson to be the strength and conditioning coach. And I remember Mangino telling me that he thought it might be the most important position on the staff, kind of what you're saying, Nick, because he actually spends more time around the kids than any of the position coaches can in college.
Okay, well, good night.
And when Lou Perkins, you know, ran off Mark Mangino, he made sure that all the other coaches were let go as well. And Chris Dawson was hired by K-State immediately. K-State,
you know what this is all about, don't you?
Became dollar good signs. In football again real
That's
quick.
That's right, dollar signs.
And Turner Gill hired a guy that, from what I was told, would sit in his office and eat McDonald's while the guys would be left to work out on their own.
No.
So if you asked him...
You're nitpicking. You're nitpicking.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think the results kind of showed. I thought I felt like being... I was on the sidelines. I saw... KU teams get routinely physically absolutely manhandled during that time period. So I felt like it correlated to the performance on the field, Nick. I don't know. It's just my opinion.
Schmidlines. Here's my problem. Every time, see, I can't get past whenever you say, and you say this, you said this several times, whenever you say Lou Perkins, when he chased off Mark Mangino, I always get the picture in my head of Lou Perkins literally chasing Mark Mangino. And then I can't.
That's a heck of a foot race between those
right,
two.
Right, and then
you know?
I can't.
You know, I can
get
still
anything.
Play a pretty mean game of racquetball.
I can't get past it. Nick, what do you think of all the different Mark Mangino drops? My favorite is the racquetball drop. You've got.
You know, I can still play a pretty mean game of racquetball.
You know what this is all about, don't you? Dollar signs. That's right, dollar signs.
Okay, well, good night.
These are all time-tested drops from Mark Mangino that go nowhere. Do you like them?
He definitely, yeah. I never had any interaction with him at all. So I missed him at K-State by about a year. Some of the guys spoke about him before me. And so, yeah. But no, I like it, man. I was like when coaches like Mike Leach. Like, I like coaches like that who are smart and say and have interesting press conferences. And so things like that are interesting. You know, I like when coaches have opinions about other stuff because, you know, they're an interesting group of people and they have some wildly fascinating opinions. And I used to love hearing from all my different coaches throughout the years.
Oh, okay. So we've been talking about Dave Tobe and special teams. And this might be a loaded question or a difficult question to answer, but I've always been interested and obviously impressed by how good the special teams were at K-State with Bill Snyder. It seemed like it was very rare if a special teams unit would outplay a K-State special teams unit while Bill Snyder had everything up and running. And
you know,
I mean, I guess the question is how did he do that? Because I mean, it was so much better, and you would see the difference. in conference play so many times. How was that accomplished?
So what happens is you know, a lot of people will toss the word culture around. But, I mean, Coach Snyder made a point of emphasis to really stress special teams. And when you see, okay, here's the boss man telling us that special teams is important, you have a history of special teams players, you know, earning scholarships, you know, knowing that's their one shot. And you have people like, you know, like Terrence Newman, Darren Sproles playing special teams. You knew that it was important. And because it was important, you know, we stressed it in practice. And, you know, we stressed the importance of that in practice. And so people, like, guys really bought into it. Like they were like, okay, this is serious. And you had, you know, elder statesmen, you know, senior, junior leadership that said, man, this is, you know, this is a part of the state, man. This is our third phase, man. This is how we can, you know, shift the momentum of ball games. And you have guys who, you know, block punts, you know, and return PATs and, you know, kick returns, punt returns, and all this stuff. And it becomes an expectation, right, where you do it enough times, you just expect it. Like, I remember the offensive guys sitting there, like, you know, if we're, you know, about to get a punt return, and I'm thinking, all right, man, you know, let's run this back. And I thought it was cool, too. You know, you knew you were going to be a good return person if they could chant your name. Like, Darren Sproles or Aaron Lockett. David Allen. So it had to be like that thing, like Kings of Leon albums only being like five syllables or something like that. So,
dude, David Allen, man. David freaking Allen. He was, I mean, look, Sproles was fantastic. I mean, you didn't name a bad guy there, but David Allen, he was such a force. And they, I'm so glad that you brought him up. That he was unfreaking believable. Also, from Liberty High School.
Nice, local. But, yeah, and that's the thing, too, and that's the cool thing. So what it does, like I said, you know, a good special teams coach who's in sync with the head coach that you can build something. And look at what Dave Toby's done with the Chiefs. And, you know, it's really brought a stress point to the Chiefs. Where, okay, this guy was a position player. He played O-line, was a really good O-lineman. And now he's our special teams coach. So he's going to demand that same work effort as if you're coming from your offensive or defensive positions, and they're going to get good guys to play. Like, I always liked how Richard Sherman in Seattle and Richard Sherman in San Francisco, he plays special teams, man. You know, he got one of the best corners in the league playing special teams. So that really makes it a special unit, because it's not just, you know, the bottom part of your roster. It's like, here are our top dudes on our team, and they're playing special teams. I mean, and people are starting to figure it out, but special teams can have a massive impact on a game. Massive impact on a game. And being an offensive guy, I'm like waiting for special teams to break something open for us. So if you're a defensive guy, you know, it can shift it. Look at Sorensen versus Houston, open field tackle on that fake punt. It's huge. And it just, I mean, the emphasis enough, but it needs more emphasis, truly.
David Allen had, was it seven? Seven punt returns for touchdowns in his career?
That's amazing.
Oh, he was unbelievable. He was born in Texas, but played at Liberty High School. All American.
Well,
jeez. Yeah.
Dude was awesome. He was a crazy good athlete.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing too. Like, you know, some teams are just awful at special teams, and you hear more, and then you hear stories like, you know, when Nate tells, sometimes the attention to detail is just overlooked. And that's why, and I know that they haven't been as good the past couple of years, but you hear consistently about how much, say, Dave Tobe has and how much time Andy Reid devotes to special teams in his practices. And it's amazing to me that not all coaches do that, whether it's at the collegiate level or in the NFL, when special teams can make such a dramatic difference in game. Many times it could be the difference between winning and losing.
It is. Well, and it's me too. Like, we're starting to see a shift, but I mean, you look at coaches in the NFL, you look at like coaches in college, and it's musical chairs, right? So you feel like all these ideas just get sort of rehashed into another uniform. And then sometimes, you know, you become stuck. in a quagmire and just, you don't have this sort of, you know, new school line of thinking. And so that's why we're starting to see, you know, with all these, you know, with Cliff and Sean, new NFL head coaches, is that, you know, we're starting to see a shift away and we're starting to modernize the NFL a little bit more. With, you know, analytics and, you know, doing whatever it takes to win a game, you know, through, you know, big data, things like that. So it's pretty interesting to see. It's shifting away. People are realizing it.
Nick, always have fun talking to you, man. We appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you again real soon, my man.
All right. Have a good one.
That's Mr. Nick Lecky. A lot there to unpack. Nick Lecky, always good to talk about. And I like to hear Nate tell stories about Turner Gill. It's good for everyone's soul. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.